Welcome to Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. You have never heard of me. I am Nicholas Quirk, and through the aid of my youthful diaries, I am slipping back in time with you and my friend, Penny Parker.
At the end of August nearly now, and do you know what's coming next? September. And do you know what September's all about? Me. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday. In anticipation. Let's make sure we do something nice.
Special.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's celebrate. Woo-hoo. In a special way.
All right.
But actually, we're still in August, Penny.
Right. And we must be near a bank holiday or something. Where are we going?
We are. We will be near a bank holiday. That was coming up on the 31st. But we're going to 1981, and it's a Thursday. It's the 27th, and I'm still not quite myself.
Oh, dear.
I've been ill. I've got a little bit of a sickness.
Oh, dear.
I think I got into work, and I had my first cup of coffee, and I began to feel quite ill, which apparently was a familiar stomach ache. And I knew that if it persisted, I would not be getting much sleep.
Oh, dear.
But that was back on the 25th, so that was 2 days earlier. So it had lasted a while, actually.
I'm concerned.
And definitely had sleepless nights.
Oh.
But as I was not feeling quite myself, I did not go for a swim this morning. So at this point, I was living in Brighton, and I'd taken to going swimming in the sea.
I'm thinking that's
first thing in the morning. Were the beaches as polluted then as they are now? Were we pouring sewage into the sea at that time?
I think we kind of were.
Well, I was going swimming, and you know what? I was swimming naked as well when I did. What? I would go down on the nudist beach.
Oh, God.
I was a svelte.
Yes.
20-year-old.
Leaping down. Well, I suppose we're August, so quite a pleasant pastime. All right, good.
Yeah, but I would do it, and I would go very early. I'd go like about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Or 6:30.
Golly, well, I can see why I'm feeling a bit icky. You don't want to go.
Yeah. Work, even more boring. Now, it's interesting work. I was working at American Express. And so boring was the nature of the work. I'd only just started this particular job. But so boring was the work that I had noted down what it was.
Okay.
Would you like to hear that?
I do.
I open envelopes and check the bottom of receipts to make sure they are clean for coding. Dreadful. Coding, what is coding, I'm wondering? I think that might be data entry.
Probably.
So I thought my job was boring, opening the envelopes and looking at them. Somebody then had to type that information into a computer or into some sort of keyboard. I think it was all done on fiche, microfiche. So there weren't computers.
No.
There definitely weren't computers.
No.
But I think they were putting it onto a certain thing that would then be microfiche.
Yes.
And then you would be able to look at the receipts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're at the bottom of a very boring mountain, aren't you there?
Staggeringly. The manpower to do that. I was actually in a department that was doing it. So you can imagine, there are about five of us doing this unmentionably tedious work.
I mean, now they'd let people wear headphones, wouldn't they? But you're just...
They probably would let people wear headphones if you're doing that sort of stuff. But, you know, you just scan something in now anyway, don't you?
Of course you would.
You know. But even if you were scanning in, I guess you get to listen to music.
Oh, my, that sounds grim.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well,
So I wasn't listening to music. But if I was...
If you were, what were we having?
What would I have been listening to? Well, number one in the charts was Japanese Boy, Annika. I don't really recall that. However, I do recognise this. Tainted Love, Soft Cell, was a marvellous track. Hold On Tight, ELO. Love Action, The Human League, which I did love them. Now, this is an interesting one. I'm looking forward to hearing your sources because this is going to be bouncy and fun. The Caribbean Disco Show.
Ooh.
And that was Lobo.
Ooh.
A band called Lobo. So that's going to be a nice bouncy, fun track for us all to listen to.
It better be.
One in ten, UB40, just to bring us all down.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Water on glass, stroke boys, Kim Wilde. So she must have had a dual...
Double-sided.
In it. And Je Suis un Rockstar.
Oui, oui.
Bill Wyman of the Rolling Stones. Mm. And also a song that I did like very much was Chant Number One, Don't Keep the Pressure On, Spandau Ballet.
Good.
Interesting name, Spandau Ballet, isn't this, really? Because, of course, Spandau was the prison where they held a lot of Nazi war criminals, isn't it?
Yes,
so why that name? Why Spandau Ballet?
Don't know. Do you know?
Well, I think it's because prisoners that were hung and their bodies twitched and it looked like they were dancing.
Oh, my God.
So somebody had scrawled it, I believe, on some toilet and referred to it as Spandau Ballet being a kind of dance. Dance of death. A dance of death, Penny. Anyway, let's get back to my day because we've gone off on quite a tangent.
We have.
The work was even more boring, though I did have quite an amusing chat with one of the lads who works there called Dave.
Good old Dave.
I don't remember Dave. I can't bring him to mind. He has no resonance at all.
Okay.
There was a girl I remember working with and we talked too much and got in trouble and she got sent somewhere else.
Oh.
And there was a couple of women who I, older women who I did like very much. They were very funny, although very dull in a way. Funny dullness. I decided not to go to rehearsals tonight. So I had been cast in a play called Philomena.
All right.
And I was playing one of Philomena's sons.
Okay.
And I don't think at that point I was taking it very seriously if I thought I could take the night off.
I know my lines.
I'm not very... Well, I think I got into a bit of a state because they couldn't decide whether... It's an Italian play.
Mm.
So they couldn't decide whether we should be doing it in Italian cod accents.
Oh, dear.
And I was sort of going, no. And I think they wanted us to. So I wasn't happy about playing Riccardo in this sort of stupid voice.
Oh.
Because, you know...
That's crazy.
Just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
So I don't think we did do it. I think somebody chose to do it. I think we ended up saying, do what the hell you like.
Oh, my God, what a mess. Shut up at your face.
So, yes, I wasn't happy with it, and I decided to take the note off. But mainly because Pat, of the writing class, was having a coffee night.
Oh.
Coffee night. What a strange thing to have. Extraordinary dull thing to have. And what a thing to not go to rehearsals for.
Is that little, I'd rather go coffee night.
I'd rather go for a coffee night. I was thinking clearly of the buzz I would be getting off the coffee.
I'm hoping there's cake with the coffee night. Coffee and cake night makes more sense.
It does. If there was, that would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
But coffee, a load of mad people who write twitching.
Spandau Ballet.
We probably played it. Did strange little twitchy dances. anyway, but with nothing to read out, I decided I would have to finish at awkward age. So I spent my lunchtime writing. Quite pleased with the result.
Oh, good.
So I don't know.
At an awkward age, some piece you're
well,
writing?
Well, I think it was At an Awkward Age became the title. Mm. I've written here At Awkward Ages. I don't know. But it was about an actor, middle-aged actor, who was signing on. And in the Stole office, he met up with his first love.
You mean he re-met his first love or he met someone who became his first love?
No, he re-met his first love. Well, he's middle-aged now. So that, and then there was an exchange between them because I think I like the idea that obviously here was a man who'd gone not really very far mm-hmm. in life. I think he'd had some sort of success, if I remember rightly, in a soap opera.
Oh, good.
But small success, very small success.
Minor.
So he kind of, but then nothing after that. He was just left to rot. So, but he was signing on the Dole and this was his life and he did that. And then he met somebody who he would have liked to have made an impression with. And I think then they talked about their school days. I think he talked to her and said to her that if you know that I fancied you and da 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 da, and then it was like this very, very sad little tale. And obviously, I think the idea that it was awkward was that it had been awkward as youths,
yes,
that nothing happened because he couldn't do that, and then awkward as adults, mm-hmm. as a middle aged adult, because again, life had gone on and she was, she was married, she must have been married,
right?
I can't remember, I don't think she was signing on.
No.
Oh, I think maybe he was coming out of the office.
That
He'd
makes
been
more
signing
sense.
On and he was coming out. I can't remember. I wish I do have it somewhere, but I don't know where it is.
Let's brush that
Because
off.
Otherwise I would read it all to you. God. And you would want me to from the comments that are going to come next.
Of course. I live in France. We get the B-E-H. Just we own rock star. Just have your own residence. Just have a tailor. I lost out to France. Boulez-vous. What dear with me. Then come and rest tailor. With me in France.
I was myself quite pleased with the results.
Good.
Much to my dismay, as one of the main reasons I went to Pat's was to see Nick, which is clearly not myself, and I don't even remember who Nick is, wasn't there.
Oh, dear.
So that was a bit annoying. Okay. But I went because, I think, if I remember rightly, there was a young guy who was a similar age to me that went to this writing class. So he had a lot more kudos in my eyes.
Yes.
Than these pensioners and my mum, who I was going along with. She wasn't a pensioner then.
No.
But they all seemed a lot older to me and middle-aged and quite staid.
I can imagine.
And their writing was very much for ladies' magazines like She. So they'd be writing stories for She and things like that. So whereas I had far more literary aspirations.
Of course, sir.
And I believe that Nick did.
Good old Nick.
So I was Nick, he was Nick, and we had literary aspirations. Unless I'm talking about myself here.
Always possible.
In which case, I've got some sort of split personality psychotic thing going on.
I know, get me out of here.
Nick's not here. Not the Nick I know.
Security. This is Phil talking. I want to tell you what I found to be true.
So he wasn't there. I was a bit disappointed. Well, I was dismayed. I used the word dismay to my dismay.
Oh.
But anyway, everyone was pleased to see us. So clearly I had gone with my mother.
Yes.
And we had a very good evening. Now, how do you think my story went down?
Well, as you've said, it's a very good evening. I'm assuming people loved it because had they not?
My story caused a sensation.
At Pat's Coffee Night.
And I was surprised the word genius was not used.
Oh, was it used?
As the descriptions, brilliant, a masterpiece, were bandied around.
How very satisfying. You must have been glowing.
I was glowing to the point that my smugness made me right. It is quite true. I do seem to have a very good insight into human nature.
Just not myself.
I don't think I'd have wanted to go reflecting on myself at this point.
No.
I was just wanting to bask.
You bask away.
Bask in the splendour of being...
me.
Well, a genius. Which I clearly felt those words denoted. Brilliant, masterpiece. They denote genius.
And moreover, you just dashed this off at lunchtime. Think what you could achieve.
Yes. Well, I don't know. I dashed the ending off at lunchtime. I hadn't finished it. So I finished it very quickly. When you see a ship, you're sailing. When you feel your heart is breaking, hold on tight. Dream a dream. Though I do think I detect in the way I've written it, there is an element of self...
grandiosement?
Of irony and fun in it.
Oh,
well, otherwise, why write? I'm surprised the word genius wasn't bandied about. Do you know what I mean? I am slightly taking the piss out of myself in the diary. I don't think I truly sank ever to the things to believe. I had too much of an inferiority complex to actually... take that apart. But it was just very nice to hear. The fact was, it was flattery. I would have done anything for those people at that point.
Exactly.
Penny, I would have done anything. But, you know, clearly I do have quite a good insight into human nature. And then I go on to say, I may, if the acting does not come to anything, take up full time this writing lark. A bit of a lark.
Lark.
It was a lark. So that's what I mean. So I don't think I was taking it terribly seriously.
All right, good, good.
I just think I was, I noted it because it was a very nice thing
to say.
You're
being playful.
Yes. Michael, clearly referring to my brother, despises, for some reason, my attempts at literary triumph.
What's that all about?
I don't know. Anyway, I started to read after finishing the tremendous biography of Frankie Howard, On the Way I Lost It, The French Lieutenant's Woman. So Frankie Howard's biography was called On the Way I Lost It, but I started reading... If that sentence construction, the work of a genius, of course, is difficult to follow.
Because I was thinking Frankie Howard was in The French Lieutenant's Woman. What was he?
No, that was long before it was made, actually. The film hadn't even been made then.
Oh, funny.
So I absolutely loved the biography of Frankie Howard.
Really?
Well, yes, and I think because he comes across in it as... a very depressed person. But, of course, he is very funny. He is very funny. And I can't tell as well whether through the lines of what he wrote, I don't think he identified himself as gay in that. I don't think he did. I'm sure he didn't.
Well, of course, so
but
many.
I think reading between the lines, one could sense that about him. Sort of, I suppose, that misery in his life. Because, of course, it was the early 80s, you know, where things were starting to become a little bit more liberal. But, I mean, it was still very, very, it's bad.
Yeah, definitely.
But I clearly found that a tremendous, and I still do remember having read it and really that sense of enjoyment from it. And but then I started to read, direct contrast, The French Lieutenant's Woman. I obviously thought, I need to read this. This is the work of a proper genius.
Genius.
John Fowles. Yep. So let's stimulate myself.
Let's get you going, because you've got a few more lunchtimes. You can dash off a couple of novels.
That's right. Yeah. And that's how my day ended.
On a high of literary
triumph.
And so we come to the end of this episode of Quirk, a day in the year of a nobody. Thanks for listening, and join me next week when Nicholas takes us on another rummage through his past.